Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the Coach's Playbook podcast. If you've enjoyed following along so far, please subscribe and give us 5 stars. And if you don't, I'll have my mom call your principal and get you fired. On today's episode, we have Coach Greg Collins, head coach from Western Kentucky University, on to talk about ball screen offense, incorporating ball screens, and teaching your kids how to read them. It should be a great one. Enjoy. On today's episode, we have Coach Greg Collins, the head women's basketball coach at Western Kentucky University. Coach Collins was in his second year as head coach this year and has continued the tradition of excellence with 21 seasons in both of his first 2 years. Coach Collins had the Hilltoppers primed to make a run at Conference USA before the season was cut short. He is a former high school coach from here in Kentucky, so he knows all of our pains. Coach Collins, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, I appreciate it. I enjoy coaching high school basketball in Kentucky. Some of the great coaches in that area. So it's one thing when you can recruit the type of players that you need for a system, but it's different when you've got to adjust constantly with the type of players that are just enrolling in your school. So I always admire high school coaches.
Well, I appreciate that, but we do know that you were in Louisville. So, you know, we know recruiting happens in Louisville. So you got some good experience and preparation there.
Not at Butler traditional though.
No. We run a tight ship, coach. You're gonna get me in trouble. All right, let's jump into this. You guys, like a lot of others at your level, incorporate ball screens and drag screens into a lot of what you do. So let's talk about some of the specifics with your ball screen stuff. First of all, I have a really hard time figuring out why ball screen offense is so delayed in getting to the high school level. Do you have any thoughts on why that is, or do you think more teams should run ball screen offense, or what are your thoughts there?
I watch obviously a lot of high school games, and I see a lot of ball screen action, but at the same time, I think that there's not every high school team doesn't have post players that are somebody you're going to play pick and roll with. And so there's a lot of high school teams that are very successful really with 5 guards on the floor. And so that's probably got as much to do with it as anything, not necessarily having a post player on your roster at that time, or having a point guard that some point guards aren't as effective with a ball screen as they are without a ball screen. And so I think some of it just depends on the makeup of your team. But we've had a lot of success with it. A lot of that credit goes to Coach Tom Collin that I worked with at Louisville many years ago, and he's the one that kind of taught me the continuity ball screen offense, and that's kind of, we just kept tweaking and evolving it into a variety of things to make it fit whatever season or whatever game we were playing. But we've had a lot of success with it.
Yeah, and your guys just do it well. There's a lot of the small detail stuff we'll get into that I really like what you guys do, and I think you set up things really well for to come back to. And I think some of the programs that consistently have college level players, you know, should definitely look at finding some basic ball screen continuities, and you know, maybe even teach a few simple reads. Let's talk about your guys' early offense stuff. So, you know, I see after makes, you guys pushing it up the sideline, and actually you ball screen out of your break to the baseline. So the ball handler will use a ball screen that sends them to the baseline to try to turn the corner, which I really liked. I got to see a lot of your stuff on Synergy, and you just don't see that much. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have a variety. We have different transition breaks. We have different ones that we go to. Just sometimes it changes within the game. Sometimes it just changes game to game. Just depends on what we think is going to work or what seems to be working the best. But what you're talking about in particular is, yeah, we'll run kind of a side ball screen in transition where we kind of give the player some option. They can kind of get a little step up screen, so to speak, and or they can run it as a handoff. And then they follow it with another pick and roll option or a flare screen option. So we spend a lot of time drilling and going over those reads so that the kids can get out there and just play. We don't want to really bog them down with thinking. We want them just to kind of react and play and flow. And, that gets better. It gets better with time. But there's also a learning curve in there that we have to kind of work our way through.
And that's, you know, I think having some patience, especially if you don't run ball screen stuff yet, you know, I think you have to have some of that patience, just like you would with other things you initially put in. So let me ask you this. With, you know, with you wanting to push You said it may change through the course of a game. If you're wanting to run that specific break we just mentioned, will you call it every time you want to run it? Will you call it once and that's what you're in until you call something different? How do your guys know when you're wanting to initiate a change?
Early on, we tend to call it. We'll tend to prepare throughout the week or throughout the previous days leading up to the game, and then we'll call it. But as we get better at making those decisions, the players kind of take charge. They kind of get to where they know what the read is. And we do a lot of film breakdown and a lot of three-on-three, four-on-four breakdowns in practice and trying to teach that decision-making so that they're able to do those things in practice. And as long as everybody's kind of understanding the same reads at the same time, that's really the trick, then it's effective. So we do it both ways. We'll call it. Sometimes the players will make the reads themselves. If I see something, then of course we'll call it as they're coming down the floor. Sometimes we'll make an adjustment out of the timeout. But I like the more, I guess, more responsibility, the more freedom you can put in the players' hands, then the faster the game's going to be played.
Yeah, that's good. Does it matter what sideline you guys bring it up?
No. Just as fast as the fastest sideline. That's what we're looking for.
That's good. And I think, especially, like you said, when you guys have options to turn the corner and use a baseline, if that's not there, you can rescreen and go back to the middle. So, you know, I think a lot of your guys, it took me a while to figure out because they were so good going both ways. And that's just at our level, we don't see a lot of kids that can really get off a ball screen both ways and make something happen. But,
I think the key, whether you're coaching high school, whether you got a team like you had a coach where you're a state championship contender, or whether you're in a rebuilding project, or whether you're a college coach, whether you're Coach Walls at Louisville or you're Greg Collins at Western Kentucky, it doesn't matter. I think the key is knowing how much you can teach your players at any given time. And so not giving them too much, but making sure you're giving them enough. And so we try to keep it simple. We really do. I think that it's less is more, and we'll try to teach them a little bit and make sure they kind of got it and have digested it and feel comfortable with it before we kind of advance to maybe a different read or a more complicated read that requires more decision makers at the same time. So we try to really keep it simple in the beginning. But last year we were fortunate. We had several really good experienced players on the floor at most of the time. With Creech and DeGivens and Alexis Brewer, we had three young ladies that really were good, high basketball IQ players, and they had done this for a while. And so it worked well. But I think the key is, no matter where you are, is just really making sure you're giving your players the right amount of instruction, not too little, but certainly not too much. And we really try to keep it simple.
That's really good. It's good for people to kind of hear, you know, it's just a constant, I guess, you know, feeling out process. And I guess you get better at the longer you do it about figuring out what your team can handle and being able to gauge your team. Getting on from the transition side of it too, once you guys get in the half court, you know, what I love is, you know, you guys are coming off middle ball screens in transition. You got baseline ball screens. I see wing ball screens. You know, it seems like the bigs are really hunting those ball screens, especially like early in the possession or late in the possession. Is this, you know, is it kind of up to the post to read a situation? Do the guards call for it? Or is there kind of a flow and a continuity?
Again, it really is. It's based on the game. And so it's based on a game plan going in. And we may have it called. It may be a particular type of offense that we're running, but it may be an adjustment throughout the game. And there's times, even going back, I mean, to Chastity, Ivy Brown, when we had Ivy Brown, I gave her a lot of freedom. We just said, it's Ivy's decision, either to screen or not to screen. And so the guards kind of knew, you may get a screen, you may not get a screen. And but then there's times when I'll call it and tell them who's setting the screen and when. So we adjust that based on personnel. But really the decision making is based on what the defense is doing, where we think we might have an advantage, and or we might be able to catch a mismatch, and that's really what drives our ball screening decision, whether it's the type of ball screen, the angle of the ball screen, or who's setting the ball screen, or when the ball screen's happening. And so there's all those factors that we kind of take into consideration. What offense, which of our offenses we're doing that. But we still like for it to not stop. We really don't want to stop play as much as we just want to keep playing, keep attacking.
And that's what's kind of beautiful about the way you guys play. I mean, you score a lot of points, but it makes it hard to scout. I mean, just watching clip after clip after clip, you know, you see ball screens coming at different times from different angles with different people, and it's fun to watch, and it seems like it's pretty hard to scout.
It is, and that's something I learned from Tom Collin was, you know, there's a limited number of ways you can defend that ball screen. And as a coach on the other end, just like when you prepare for your games, there's a certain maybe two ways you're going to prepare to attack a ball screen, and maybe three ways. But we work every day on how to handle not just those three, but also the other three ways that you might defend it. And so we just got to keep attacking, and then the players learn, oh, well, they're switching, so we know exactly what to do. Oh, well, they're hedging, and so we know what to do. And even then, even within that, they know that, well, our best scoring opportunity is on the post player lifting up, or our best scoring opportunity is on the guard turning the corner and trying to get to the basket. And so even within those, once they recognize what the defense is doing, they know what we're looking for at that very next second. And so that takes a lot of repetition and practice. It takes a lot of film work. But I think the kids, the players, once they kind of get in that groove, they tend to like it because it allows them just to play basketball.
Right. I was going to say, you know, you've got a product that's easy to sell. I don't think it's hard to convince kids to want to play that style. So, and also I was getting my master's at Western when Gooch was there, and I'd let her do whatever she wanted to. So, those players make coaches look good.
Chaz, I tell you a funny story about Chaz. When I got here, Coach Hurd and I got here, Chaz was going into her sophomore year, and there's no doubt she had a ton of talent and had a super high basketball IQ and had a successful career at Franklin Simpson in high school. And but I got to looking at the numbers, I'm like, why is Chaz Gooch shooting 45% from the free throw line? That blew my mind. And so I called her in, and we were talking, and there were several things that we were working on to try to help her grow. But that was one in particular. And I said, Chaz, we're not going to practice free throws. All I'm going to do is every time you get to the free throw line, I'm just going to hop. Now, Chastity's jersey number was 34. And so, but when you get to the free throw line, I'm just going to holler out, come on, 45, you've got this. Come on, 45. And she looked at me puzzled, and I said, because I know your granny and your mom are going to be in the stands, and they're going to hear me holler, come on, 45, they're going to ask you. And you're going to explain to your basketball mom and your basketball granny why you're shooting 45%, which is an embarrassing number for a kid from Kentucky, from the free throw line. And she didn't like that. She went on to have a great improvement in her free throw percentage that year. And by the time she graduated, I think she was shooting in the high 70s from the free throw line.
That's good motivation. Mom and granny are always good motivators.
Right.
Yeah, I stole some of the horn set you guys ran with her. Still kind of run some of those. So. That was good stuff. You guys, this is kind of a detail thing. You know, you guys almost always closed roll or sprint out of ball screens. You know, and that's opposed to kind of the old school open roll where the bigs would pivot and spin out that, you know, used to be old school pick and roll basketball. But is there ever a time where you teach or you use the old school open roll, or is it pretty much always a closed roll where we're sprinting out?
No, it's really based on what the player is best at doing.
Okay.
And we teach it both ways.
Okay.
We teach it both ways. And the reason you saw that mostly because we played this year, we had players that were a little bit more fluid. Renee Melchadewa is, you know, one of the better post players in our conference and average double-double. And she's an international type player. She's not really she's more of a mobile post than she is a dig in and kind of get you on my back post. And so we've taught it both ways. And again, it depends on what the defense is doing. If we're playing you, Coach Faust, and we realize that you're switching and we might be able to get your point guard on our five, then she may open up and try to steal your man as opposed to sprint out of that screen. So a lot of it depends on how we were people, how they were trying to defend our ball screens as to what we were doing. But it really, the driving decision maker in how to get out of that ball screen is what's best for that player.
That's good. That's good. I kind of switched to doing strictly closed role, but yeah, I mean, if you're teaching something that's kind of counterintuitive to a kid or taking away a strength, that's probably not a good thing. So I like that.
Yeah, if you have a strong post that maybe is not real mobile and you're trying to teach them to close roll or sprint out of that thing, that's probably not going to be to their advantage. You know what I'm saying? Like they might be better off just to set a good screen, open up, post up, and look for the dump off or the rebound. So it just depends on what, you know, we early on, we'll go through and we'll watch players and you can tell what they're comfortable doing, what they're good at doing. And so we try to focus in on how to make them comfortable, but also make them really the best player that they can be. And so we don't want them trying to do something that they're not going to feel like they can be successful doing.
Sure. And kind of leading into that, you know, you mentioned your mobile big. You know, one action that you guys were really good at, and particularly I got to see her do it particularly quite a bit, was using go screens, or I don't know what you guys might call them, but for people who are listening, that's, you know, your big sprinting into the ball screen, but kind of well before they actually get there, they kind of peel out and sprint out, and the ball handler tries to time it right to drive off of it, and it's a little different than a slip. And it can be really hard for defenses to handle because they're not sure what coverage they're really employing. So are you looking in film or in game? You know, what are you looking at that tells you that that action is going to be something that you want to look at?
The defense, what the other team's doing. And we practice all those different ways of attacking ball screen defense. And so if the defense is trying to guard a ball screen a certain way, then we'll do exactly what you said. We'll run a go screen. We'll run up and either slip, or sometimes we'll run out of the thing and fake the screen and then pop out early. And so it makes it tough on the other team, especially if you're trying to hedge or switch. And so if you're trying to get some help from your screening defender and that screener leaves, you've got a decision to make, and you better make it fast and you better be right. Because if you got a good point guard that can make decisions with that ball, you might have a pretty good scoring opportunity on the other side if they don't make the right decision.
Okay. Let's see. I think a part of the reason that some coaches shy away from ball screen stuff is, you know, they may not know how to teach the reads. I think, and I know from experience, you know what you've been taught, and or you know what you're comfortable with, and you may get into something and feel like you're good at teaching it, and so that's what you kind of stick with. And you know, I think right now, night in, night out, we see teams either run motion or dribble drive or some variation of that. And I mean, that it seems like that's about 90% of people's man-to-man offense. You know, how do you build your ball screen offense? You know, you're talking about they have to make all these reads. Well, you've got incoming freshmen who may have never played pick and roll at all. Do you go against one type of coverage for a week, get good at it, or do you mix in all types of reads and just build over the long haul? How do you incorporate that, and how do you get them up to speed?
Yeah, that we keep it simple. We just what you said. We'll take it step by step, and we'll begin with. I see a lot of dribble drive offense, not just in high school, but also at our level. We'll see a lot of dribble drive, and I think that's because it's relatively simple to teach. It's simple to attack out of, and so that's what makes it effective. It doesn't really involve necessarily another player directly with you and the ball at the same time. So there's a time and place for that works well. We tend to like the ball screen because it does involve a post player, and you've got to make good decisions defensively, or you can get good scoring opportunities. We'll come in and we'll just start with a simple set of screen. Read the defender. If the defender goes over or under, you know, or if they're trying to ice the screen, then what shot are you looking for? And we'll kind of just attack that, and we'll keep working on that. We don't get into a lot of complicated reads early on. We'll keep it simple, and again, it'll just be drive over the screen, defender's going over the top. We're looking to try to attack the basket or dump it off to the post. Drive over the screen. Defender's going underneath. Now we're looking for a switch or a step back shot if you're open, or a re-attack. And so we'll break it down like that, and involve not just the two players involved in the pick and roll, but we also involve the other player, whether that's a post or guard, replacing or lifting for that other pass to throw it back to.
You know, I get a lot of people asking kind of when we go through some stuff, you know, about resources, you know, if they say, well, where can I pick this stuff up? I mean, honestly, I think there's so much good stuff. You may have to filter through, but I think there's good stuff on YouTube. I mean, we're in a time where it's easy to find information. Now, filtering out for the really good stuff may be a little more difficult, but, you know, is there any other resources or, you know, places that, coaches go, maybe it's just come watch practice. What do you think, someone who may be interested in just learning the reads to teach them, what do you think is the best way to go about that?
I'd welcome anybody that wants to come to practice. And so if anybody listening to your podcast wants to come watch us practice, our practices are pretty much open all the time. And I'd love to have high school coaches come. And I learn as much from talking to friends and coaches like you as I do from them learning from me. And so I still enjoy getting to listen to and share ideas with other coaches. So we enjoy having coaches come to practice pretty much anytime. I'm just there's not much that we have that's a big secret. And so I enjoy having them to come to practice. We don't put a whole lot of stuff on YouTube. I think, like you said, there's probably more information that's easily available now than when I started coaching. I have lots of books and DVDs, and now everything's just available. You can do any kind of search, and you can get more information on YouTube or some of the other websites than you want. And it's, the trick is filtering out what fits what you know and what your players can do and what fits your team, and really not making sure it fits with what you want to do and not kind of muddying the waters up too much and make sure it's still clear in your player's mind. So, but I'd love to have anybody that wants to come to practice, you're welcome to. And, we enjoy having coaches.
I got to come watch you guys practice 2-3 years ago, and it's a great practice. Practice moves. There's a lot of good skill stuff. And I definitely recommend anybody in the area. That's definitely worth their afternoon. What was the biggest change for you when you went from coaching at the high school level to the collegiate level? And if you're coaching high school right now, what are the things that you think you'd be doing to maybe separate you from the other programs?
Well, the thing I remember that when I started coaching, period, at the high school level, and I remember my father, who was a high school coach and a principal, had told me, don't worry about the plays, worry about teaching them how to play. And so we spent a lot of time on fundamentals, and I would still do that if I was coaching high school. And we spent a lot of time on fundamental instruction still to this day, not as much. But I think that's still the key. Is it's not so much what play you're running, whether it's ball screens or whether you're running a five out motion or whether, you know, ball screen continuity like Gonzaga, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's more important that you're teaching players how to play, teaching them correct fundamentals. And that still would be my focus if I were coaching high school. The biggest change, switching from high school to college, you know, in high school, there are a lot of good coaches. But sometimes coaches just don't have the same level of talent year to year. And so there's games that in coaching high school, there was a bigger disparity, I guess, is what I'm saying, in the talent level from game to game. So you play tough teams, but you also play some teams that just weren't as challenging as maybe you like. And then going to college, you better be ready every night because it doesn't matter who you're playing. On any given night, you can win or you can lose. And so you've got to bring your absolute best every single night. And I think that's an adjustment, not just for coaches that might move from high school to college, but also for players. I think the players have an adjustment because, you know, sometimes they could just show up and win. But if you at this level, if you just show up and you're not mentally and physically prepared, if you're not locked in and ready, then you're in for a long night. And so I think that was the adjustment. Is you got to – everybody's trying really hard at this level to be successful. And so you've got to bring your best all the time.
That's really good. All right, Coach, we're going to move on to the last segment. I'm going to throw a full court press on you. So I'm going to give you about 10 seconds or less to answer a series of rapid-fire questions. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Does high school need a shot clock?
Absolutely.
Do you spend more time in practice on offense or defense?
Defense.
Favorite high school gym in Kentucky?
North Bullitt High School.
There you go. Best kept secret food joint in Bowling Green?
Smoky Pig. I don't know if it's a secret, though.
And what was the best site for the KHSAA state tournament?
Dental Arena, of course.
Are you contractually obligated to give that answer?
Actually, no. No, that's still – I enjoyed coming here when I was coaching at Louisville and in Arkansas, and I enjoyed coming back to Diddle and watching the high school state tournament. And I think it's a good atmosphere. I know our community really loves having it here, and I know a lot of high school coaching friends that also really had some positive experiences and enjoyed having coming here for the state tournament. So I think there's a lot of good places to have in the state, but yeah, I'm biased.
Well, I happen to agree with you, Coach, but I really appreciate you taking the time out to do this, and we'll kind of get your contact out there for anybody who may want to come watch practice.
I appreciate it, Coach. Congratulations on a great year. You did an awesome job.
Thanks, Coach. I really appreciate you.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Yep. Bye. For Coach Collins, this has been Wyatt Faust. Thanks for listening to the Coach's Playbook Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and join us again tomorrow as we have Coach Chris Stallings on the podcast to talk about building skill and getting kids ready to play really, really hard. Until then, keep getting better.